this work is about dynamic reconfiguration of primary backup clusters, and their main we mainly looked on Apache Zookeeper as an example of primary backup. Apache Zookeeper is an open source coordination framework initially developed in Yale Research, and since then it was open sourced and it's used by dozens of companies. Since our work is being integrated into the Zookeeper open source code base, it's going to have an impact on all the deployments of Zookeeper wherever it's used. And for that reason, the work was also presented by one of my co-authors in the Hadoop Summit, in the operation track of the Hadoop Summit 2 days ago. So the work is in collaboration with Ben Reed and Flavia Junquera from Yahoo Research and Dalia Malki from Microsoft Research. Before I go into details of about my paper, I would like to talk briefly about what a configuration is and why we're interested to change it dynamically. In probably any distributed replicated system, at least the following things are part of the configuration. The membership of the system. Who are the servers that participate in the system and store replicas of the state? What is the roles of those servers? Are they voting on state changes, or do they simply learn about changes after they've been committed? The first kind is called acceptors in Paxos, and in Zookeeper they're called participants. The second kind is called learners in Paxos and observers in Zookeeper. Many of these protocols use quorum systems. Zookeeper, for example, uses two kinds of quorum systems that users can choose between. One of those is the majority quorum system. It simply means that before a state change can be committed, a majority of the participants must acknowledge it. And then there is a slightly more complex hierarchical quorum system. Basically, it means that different servers may have different weights to their votes. If you have a strong and well-connected server, you may want to prioritize it by giving it a higher weight. And then every server has network addresses and ports. In Zookeeper, every server has three of those, one to communicate with clients, one to communicate with other servers, for example, to elect a primary, and the third one for a primary to communicate with its backups. Finally, there are parameters such as timeouts, directory paths, and so on, but this work is does not consider this last type of parameters, although we intend to extend it in the future. So in every long-lived distributed system, it's important to be able to change the membership. This is one of the main ideas in cloud computing, that you allocate resources when you need them, and then you release them when you no longer require them. Being able to dynamically change the membership also allows you to cope with failures. You can just remove the faulty nodes from the system and add new ones that are healthy. And also, this allows you to increase resilience. It's well known that in asynchronous replicated systems, you need the majority of the servers to be up and being able to communicate in order for the system to work. So if, for example, we have five servers, we can tolerate the crash of two of them, and still the system will work. But if we add 10 more servers, obviously we will be able to tolerate much more failures. It's perhaps interesting to know that even by just removing servers from the system, we can increase its resilience. So in this example, if we remove the faulty nodes, we end up with a new system with three servers, and we can tolerate the failure of one more. So we increase the resilience from being able to tolerate two failures to being able to tolerate three failures by just removing. But other parameters are also, it's also important to be able to change them dynamically. For example, Zookeeper is often deployed in data centers together with other applications. Even on the same node, it can share the same machine with other applications. And operators sometimes need to change the port or the network address that Zookeeper uses dynamically when the server runs. Being able to change the role. Suppose that you have replicas in the US and replicas in Europe, and now it's daytime in the US. So you would, since most of the activity is in the US, it makes sense that the US servers will be the one voting on the state changes, and the European servers will learn about the state changes after they've been committed. It doesn't make sense to run the voting in Europe, right? So the US servers will be the participants, and the European servers will be the observers. But when it's daytime in Europe, we would prefer the European servers to be the participants and the US servers to be the observers. And finally, if you're adding a server which is well connected and you may want to prioritize it, you can do that by changing the quorum system. Building reliable distributed systems is a challenging problem, and especially it's challenging to change them dynamically while preserving consistency and availability. And that's why in the industry, usually people use coordination services. The idea is that you connect your servers to a coordination service, store some metadata or some information there, and through the coordination service, you perform different tasks. The leading coordination services at the moment are Chubby, used internally in Google, and Apache Zookeeper, used in all of the companies listed here, and many, many more. And as I mentioned, you can do configuration management using Zookeeper, but you can do many more things, such as strongly consistent metadata store, failure detection, distributed locking, leader election, and much more. So the data model that Zookeeper provides you is very similar to a file system. It's a tree of nodes. Each node is called, the nodes are called Z nodes. So each node has a value and a list of children, and also a version, actually multiple versions, used for different purposes. And you can write to a Z node, you can change its value, you can create Z nodes, delete Z nodes, you can read Z nodes, you can set a watch on a Z node so that when the value changes or if the Z node is deleted, you get notified. This is used, so there are also different types of Z nodes. For example, there are Z nodes that exist only as long as the client that created them is connected to Zookeeper. When the client session expires, if it fails, for example, the Z node disappears. And then whoever cared about this client can get notified about that. So that can be used for failure detection, for example. So obviously, it's very easy to coordinate if the coordination service is just one machine. But that's not fault-tolerant. And that's why Zookeeper itself is a distributed system. Every server in Zookeeper stores the data tree in memory. One of the servers is elected as leader during startup. If that leader fails, there is a leader election protocol that runs and elects another leader. Clients connect to one of the servers and can execute operations using that server. So if that operation is a query that doesn't change the state, the local server can answer that query. If the operation is an update that changes the state, the local server forwards the operation to the leader. The leader broadcasts the operation to the other servers. Once a quorum of the servers acknowledged the operation, the leader commits it. When your local server receives the commit, it completes the operation to the client. So a server acknowledges such a proposal by the leader only after persisting it to its logon disk. And for this broadcast protocol, Zookeeper uses ZAB, which is its own atomic broadcast protocol. It borrows a lot from Paxos, but it's conceptually different. Zookeeper uses primary backup, which is an important subclass of state machine replication. And many, if not most, of primary backup systems work as follows. So you have a primary that executes operations speculatively and sends state updates to the backups. The state updates are relative to the primary's current state. And that's why they make sense only in the context of all the previous state updates that were sent. So the green state update here makes sense only in the context of the blue one. And any log of a backup that contains the green operation will have the red and the blue before it. If the primary fails, a suffix of these updates can disappear. But any updates that do appear will appear in the correct order. And this is very different from normal state machine applications such as Paxos. In Paxos, for example, you can see a log which contains the red operation, the green operation, but in between them some purple operation proposed by a different leader. And that's because state machine replication considers all operations to be independent. Whereas here, we're not replicating operations, we're replicating state updates, which are inherently dependent on each other. So primary order, so Zookeeper guarantees this property called primary order, which means that each primary is responsible for a consecutive subsequence of the log. And this property is actually preserved by many, if not most, primary backup systems, such as Chubby, GFS, Boxwood, chain replication, Harp, Echo, and many others, and not preserved by the general state machine replication. And this property turned out to be very useful for simple reconfiguration of primary backup systems. So what about reconfiguration? So Zookeeper is a distributed system itself. How do we reconfigure Zookeeper? So actually, it's not supported. All configuration settings are static. So a server loads configurations from a file, and when it begins to run, you cannot change anything. That's how it works. So since 2008, users were asking for a way to reconfigure Zookeeper, and there were several attempts made to make this happen, and all of them were rejected because they were found incorrect. But people are running Zookeeper in production, so they need to be able to change configuration. So what they do is this manual reconfiguration method called rolling restart. The idea is simple. You bring the servers down, you change the configuration files, and you bring them back up. Sounds simple, but it's actually very error-prone. It has repeatedly caused split brain inconsistencies and data loss in production. I will explain what is the problem, since it's so tricky to perform correctly, you could see several times a week users asking how to do this properly on the mailing list. And then some Zookeeper guru would answer with 8 simple steps to add 2 nodes to a cluster of 3. Of course, that would work only for the case of 2 nodes that are added to a cluster of 3. And for that reason, users often prefer to over-provision Zookeeper than to change it dynamically. For example, we heard this in a talk by LinkedIn. But over-provisioning doesn't help with all the use cases of reconfiguration. It doesn't allow you to change roles of servers, doesn't allow you to change their ports, and so on. And it also wastes resources at management overhead. And we showed that it also hurts Zookeeper's throughput. It's well known that configuration errors are the primary cause of failures in production systems, and that's why it's very important to have a correct and automatic way to do these configuration changes. So what's the problem with manual reconfiguration? I suppose that we have 3 servers, A, B, and C, so the configuration is ABC. One of them is the leader, server A. So it proposes and commits 3 operations, the red, the blue, and the green one. It's okay that the server C doesn't know about the blue and the green, because we need only a quorum to acknowledge an operation before it's committed. Now we would like to add servers E and D to the system. So we shut down the servers, change the configurations files, and bring them back up, right? But when we restart the servers, we have a problem. We have a partition that prevents A and B to talk with C, D, and E. And that may be a network problem, or just because of a timing issue that C, D, and E were brought up before A and B, and that's why they cannot communicate with them. But C can talk with D and E. So he has 3 out of 5 servers saying that it has the most up-to-date state, and it becomes the leader. So it re-replicates the red operation on D and E and processes something else. And now the partition heals, B and A connect to C, and C tells them, I'm the new leader, I have the most up-to-date state. So they truncate their log and adopt the new operation. And that actually happened in production. And we lost the green and the blue operations here, which were committed. So why can't we just store the configuration in Zookeeper? That's what other systems that use Zookeeper for reconfiguration are doing. Just let's store the configuration information in the Zookeeper Znode. That would work as long as there are no failures. And to understand why, I need to explain briefly how recovery in Zookeeper works. So suppose that we have 5 servers and server B is the leader. It proposes different operations. And the green operation is just a write of 5 to a Znode X. And now B fails. And there is a leader election that runs. And A is elected leader. A looks on its local log, but it has no idea if the green operation was committed or not. So out of precaution, it says everything in my log probably was committed. So it re-replicates the green operation and the blue one and proceeds to process new operations. But this doesn't work for reconfigurations. So suppose that we have the same situation, but now the green operation is a configuration change. So we're writing a new configuration ABF to a special Znode zookeeper/config. So ABF means that we're removing C, D, and E and adding a new server F. So we have the same situation as we had before, and B fails. But now during recovery, we have a partition. The upper side of the partition, C is the most up-to-date server, C is elected leader, and it continues to process new operations. But in the bottom side, A looks on its local log, as before, it thinks everything probably was committed in my log, including the green operation. The green operation means that the configuration is ABF. It can communicate with F, so it has a support of 2 out of 3 servers. It becomes the leader of ABF, and re-replicate the state and processes something else. What we have here is a split brain. We have 2 parts of the system, each part doing something different. So the conclusions here is that before we, just storing the configuration in Zookeeper doesn't work. We need to do something else. But second, before we move to a new configuration, we should persist the decision to move in a quorum of the old configuration, which we didn't do here. And second, after we persisted in the quorum of the old configuration, we shouldn't commit any new operations in the old configuration. Essentially, if we were moving from configuration S to a configuration S prime, we need to do the following things. And this is not something that we invented. It was well known before. So first, we need to commit the reconfiguration in a quorum of the old configuration. Second, we need to deactivate the old configuration to prevent it from processing anything new. Third, we need to identify the current state and transfer it to a quorum of the new configuration. And finally, we need to activate the new configuration so that it can be independent and process new client operations. Fortunately, in the primary backup system, this is much simpler than that. So committing reconfiguration in a quorum of the old configuration is just like any other operation. So we can just schedule the reconfiguration in the normal operation pipeline, and that would be committed. We don't need to deactivate the old configuration because the primary order property guarantees that any further update will be committed only after the reconfiguration commits. That's a speculative order that primary order guarantees. Now, we don't need to identify all committed or potentially committed updates in the old configuration because the leader is the only one executing operations. We can just look on the leader's log. It has all the important updates. Transfer state to a quorum of the new configuration. If we do that during reconfiguration, it will stall the entire pipeline. We don't want to do that. So we do that ahead of time. If you want to add servers to the system, you have to connect them ahead of time to Zookeeper. They will get the new state. And then during reconfiguration, we will just complete the state transfer and make sure that they have a state, the new state. And finally, we do need to activate the new configuration. The new configuration can be independent as soon as the quorum of the new configuration got the activation message. So here is a failure-free example of how this works. If we have a configuration S which includes the primary backup 1 and backup 2, and we're trying to replace backup 1 and backup 2 with backup 3 and backup 4. So we connect backup 3 and backup 4 ahead of time to the current primary. That can be done by just initiating its configuration with the current one. When they connect, they ask for the current history, and the primary sends the current history H to backup 3 and backup 4. But meanwhile, the primary is free to schedule other operations. OP1 and OP2. And then it schedules COP. COP is a configuration change operation. So meanwhile, other operations can be committed. And at some point, the quorum of the old configuration acknowledges COP. So right here. So at this point, there is no way to go back. The configuration was committed in the old configuration, means it cannot disappear. The new configuration cannot disappear. But we still need to do the state transfer. Even though the new configuration acknowledged H in the beginning, it's not enough because state transfer also includes OP1 and OP2 and COP. And only here, state transfer is complete. So at this point, the primary commits COP and activates the new configuration. So there are many evaluation graphs in the paper, but essentially, reconfiguration is usually unnoticeable to the clients. The fluctuation in throughput that you can see here is usually no more than the usual fluctuation, except when you remove the leader. When you remove the leader, since every server is connected to only one leader, they need to connect to a new leader, and they need to sync their state, which takes time. And it also takes time when a leader fails. So it's very similar to a failure of a leader. But we do have some tricks to make it more efficient than just a failure. So after a reconfiguration is proposed, the leader continues to schedule and execute operation. It doesn't stall the pipeline at all. The leader of the new configuration is responsible to commit these operations. But since leader replacement is an expensive operation, we do our best to make sure that the old leader continues to be the new leader as well, unless it's not possible. Sometimes the user explicitly wants to remove the current leader or change the port through which it talks to the backups, and then we have to replace it. But in other cases, the old leader will be the new leader as well. If the leader must be replaced, the old leader nominates the new leader to save some of the leader election time. We also support multiple concurrent reconfigurations. There is some trick to do it efficiently, which is described in the paper. But since this complicates the protocol, we decided not to integrate it into Zookeeper. Instead, if a reconfiguration is currently in progress and you're trying to invoke another one, it will be rejected and you will have to retry. The most complexity of the protocol is in the recovery, and I invite you to read the paper to find out more, but I would like to mention one more thing about the protocol is the gossiping element. So suppose that we have this system of three nodes, and A is the leader, and we're adding servers D and E as before. So the green operation is the reconfig, so it adds D and E. So first, as I mentioned, it must be persisted on a quorum of the old configuration. So now B acknowledges the green operation, so that's fine. Now, we also need to transfer state to the quorum of the new configuration. So this happens as soon as D acknowledges the green operation. So now we can A broadcasts the activation and the commit, and A, B, and D receive this activation message and change their configuration. So now, since the quorum of the new configuration receives the activation, the new configuration can independently operate. And we should be able to tolerate a failure of 2 out of 5 nodes. So A and B actually fail. So now a new leader election protocol runs, and one of the three servers has to be elected leader. However, C and E doesn't know about D. So it will not be able to gather the support of 3 out of 5. So to solve this situation, D gossips its activated configuration and convinces C and E to join it. And then it will be able to be elected leader and continue processing operations. Another aspect of reconfiguration is the client side. Obviously, when the set of servers changes, clients need to be able to stay connected to the system. Usually, if you read the literature about reconfiguration, all it says is that you need a DNS to find out the new system. And you do need a DNS, because if your client was disconnected for a while from the system, it will not be able to find the new system if there were enough changes. But besides that, you need to make sure that the new system is load balanced. So in Zookeeper currently, a client is initiated with a list of servers. It does a random permutation of the list and connects to the first one in its list. So this guarantees pretty good load balancing. So if its server fails, it connects to the next one on the list and so on in round robin. But if its server doesn't fail, it stays connected. Even if you add more servers, no one will migrate to those servers. That's what's shown in this graph. So the graph shows the number of clients per server. The black line is the maximum number of clients connected to any of the servers. The red line is the minimum number of clients, and the blue one is the average. So we would like the black and the red one, the red lines to be as close as possible together. In order, that's when the system is load balanced in terms of number of clients per server. But currently in Zookeeper, if you just add servers, like in 4 there, in reconfiguration number 4, if you just add servers, no one will migrate to them. So what we would like, how can we solve that? Of course, we can create a new permutation of the servers and have everyone reconnect to a new random server. But that would create excessive migration. What we would like to have is that the migration is proportional to the change in the system. So if we just add or remove one node, one server, then only the clients connected to that node or that should be connected to that node should move. and not all of the clients. So for example, if we have 3 servers and 10 clients connected to each server, and then we're adding 2 more, we have 30 clients, 5 servers, so 6 clients should be connected to each server. So in each one of the, so we're missing 12 clients on the 2 new servers. So if 4 clients move away from the old servers to one of the new servers, we'll be okay. So that's what we do. Each client decides with probability 0.4 to move to one of the new servers. And then we have an expected number of 6 clients connected to each server. There are more complicated cases where there are removals and additions, like here. So here we have a server. So eventually we would like to have 10 clients per server. But servers D and E, if you notice, there were 5 servers, and now there are 3, right? So the number of servers decreased, so the load on each server should increase. So the clients connected to D and E shouldn't move anywhere because their servers will accept new clients. On the other hand, the clients whose servers disappear should, of course, move. So server F is missing 10 clients, and server D and E is missing 4. So each client decides with those probabilities where to move and how. So the protocol is very simple. There is a formula for that, but essentially each client answers 2 questions locally. Is my server being removed or not? Because if it's being removed, I have to move. And second question is, are there more servers or less? If there are less servers, and I'm connected to a server that is staying in the system, then my servers will accept more clients, so I should stay where I am. If there are more servers now, then I might have to move, depending on some probabilities. So what the algorithm gives is an instruction to disconnect or stay connected, and the probabilities to connect to the new and old servers. And that achieves pretty good load balancing, as we can see here. So we implemented this in Zookeeper. Zookeeper is written, there is a server side and the client side. The server side is written in Java. The client side libraries is written in Java and in C. There are 2 client side libraries. We're currently integrating this into the Zookeeper code base. It's more than halfway through. There's 3 new Zookeeper API calls that this adds. The reconfig, which changes the servers. The getconfig, which just returns the current configuration and allows you to set a watch to be notified on configuration changes. And the update server list, which can be used to invoke the client side rebalancing. So we allow changes to the membership, to the quorum system, to the server roles, and to all the addresses and ports in Zookeeper. And there are 3 modes. An incremental mode, where you can just add and remove servers. A non-incremental mode, we just specify the new configuration. And then you can condition the reconfiguration on the current version. So if you don't know, so you can say reconfigure only if the current version is X. And as I mentioned, you can subscribe to configuration changes by setting watches. Here is an example of how to use this using Clyde's command line interface. And you don't have to use it. You can invoke reconfiguration just like any other update from your application. But an operator may choose to use the command line interface. So the first command changes the role of host one of server one to be an observer, and also changes all its ports. And also adds server 2 to the system as a follower, and removes server 5 in the same command. The second command reads a new configuration from this text file, and it's also conditional on the current version of the configuration being this number. And then the last command is a getconfig. It sets a watch on the current configuration, and it's also the -c means that we're just interested in the connection string, which will be used to connect the client to a new list of servers. So we're not interested in all the configuration parameters. So there are different options. And to sum up, the contribution of this work is first the observation that primary backup is easier to reconfigure than general state machine replication. We have a new algorithm that we implemented in Zookeeper that is being contributed to the code base. It's a first practical algorithm for speculative reconfiguration, which makes use of this primary order property. It has many nice features. It doesn't limit concurrency. It reconfigures immediately and preserves primary order. This is, by the way, unlike general state machine replication. It doesn't stop client operations, such as virtual synchrony. And clients work with a single configuration at a time without any external services. And this is, for example, unlike Rambo. And also, we include client-side rebalancing. And I would like to end by thanking the Zookeeper open source community for supporting this work, especially the people listed here who helped in different ways and during the different stages of this work. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Hi, great work. Hari Subramanian from VMware. You described a methodology by which we could potentially do the reconfiguration by doing it as a Zookeeper update and why that would not work if there was a failure during that. I was just wondering if that is still possible, if that method would still apply for a subset of reconfigurations if you're willing to just add or remove or just do one reconfiguration operation per operation.
If by one reconfiguration you mean removing or adding one node, then yes.
Okay.
As long as the quorum of the old configuration and the new configuration intersect, the problem is much simpler. However, we support arbitrary changes. You can you can do many things.
Okay, thank you.
John Griffin with TCS. You mentioned earlier in the talk when you were describing the failure model of the previous system that your production system had lost data because of the wrong sync. Do you have an amusing anecdote that you could tell about that? Did everything turn out okay, or was it terrible?
Usually, it's difficult to to come back from data loss. So unfortunately, the end is not happy there. But usually, something bad happened, and then we try to analyze of the cause of this. And sometimes there are multiple leaders. Sometimes the log is truncated for some reason. And many times, the reason is a bad configuration. That is produced by this hacks of changing it. So.